Since February 24th, the Ukrainians have been a people living in occupied territory. Territory now occupied by the armed forces of a violent and vicious enemy. The results of this occupation have brought cataclysmic destruction and suffering upon the people of Ukraine. And while Ukraine is presently in occupied territory in the midst of a terrible war, you might very well feel like you, as a citizen of the United States, are now living in a war zone, an enemy-occupied territory as well. Occupied not by the armed forces of a foreign country, but occupied by ideologies, philosophies, theologies, and policies that are completely foreign to our nation's founding principles. Occupied by people demanding and demonstrating and voting for things which are manifestly contrary to the word and will of God. And occupied by people in office and in positions of authority who are coercing and compelling our country to go in directions that are manifestly contrary to common sense. The fact is, the whole world has been enemy-occupied territory since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. When they fell for the lie of Satan and chose to obey him rather than God, they gave the devil a foothold in this world. A foothold that has turned into a stronghold. Jesus called him the prince of this world. This demonic prince, says Ephesians 2:2, is the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient, whose sin-hardened hearts and unconverted minds are occupied by him, making them enemies of Christ and enemies of all Christ's people in the world, including you and me. So, what are Christians living in the enemy-occupied territory of this world to do in the face of a mortal foe who seeks our destruction and death, and who unleashes untold misery on the world at the hands of those who do his bidding in pursuit of their own lust for power and control? First off, the Bible said this would happen. In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes of the godlessness that will come as time and history draw to a close, writing in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow, if this is what the last days are going to be like, it sure seems like they're upon us, doesn't it? Or certainly fast approaching. So how are we as Christians to live in a world like this? The answer is found in Paul's final charge to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and from how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There you have it. Instructions from the Apostle Paul on how to live as a Christian in the enemy-occupied territory of this world. Live after his example, who lived after the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to live with purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance in the face of persecutions and sufferings, and by doing good works to overcome evil with good. Overcoming evil with good is how we drive a stake into the heart of the evil one and tear down the stronghold Satan and his henchmen have in the world. And just as on this Memorial Day weekend, we salute the courageous soldiers who lived and died defending the freedom and liberty and values of our country, as Christians, we're to be courageous and self-sacrificing soldiers in the army of the Lord, defending the truth of God's word, proclaiming the freedom and liberty the gospel gives to all who believe in Jesus Christ, and preserving the values of human life and dignity it proclaims. Today, being Ascension Sunday, the church trumpets the good news that the day is coming when we will finally and forever be ushered out of this spiritual and earthly war zone into that far-off country where no enemy will occupy, nor threat of any kind. But until then, you and I have a job to do. We are at war with powers and principalities who hate us because they hate Jesus Christ. As soldiers of the cross, we must be brave and bold in taking our stand on the truth of the Word of God against all those in the world who despise and disobey it. Your job and mine is to hold the line on the truth revealed in the Bible, to be warriors for Christ no matter what persecutions and sufferings come, just as they did to Paul. In the midst of a culture where sexual immorality and deviancy is celebrated, where the sanctity of life means so little to so many, where civility and decency are characteristics of a bygone age, and where respect for and enforcement of the laws of the land are things of the past, Christians are to stand as warriors in the culture wars, who raise the flag, never of surrender, but who raise the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and wave the banner of truth, the Bible. As the Church of Christ, we are on the front lines fighting for the soul of our nation. There are no foxholes into which we can run and hide, but we are to always be marching forward to occupy the occupied territory of the evil one by overcoming his evil with Christ's good. Yes, there are still battles to be fought as long as we are in this enemy-occupied world. But the final battle has already been won, and our ultimate victory secured. Though Jesus Christ isn't here in the flesh with us now, one day he will be, and our hearts yearn for that day. In that day when he descends to earth in the way he ascended, every eye will see him, every knee will bow before him, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Then the bad and evil times will be over for good. The darkness of sin, death, and the devil will be driven away forever. And there will be no more enemy-occupied territory in heaven or on earth, for all things will be made new. Until then, let us eagerly await our Lord's return, overcoming evil with good, and fervently sharing the gospel with others until the day when we see with our own eyes the glory of the coming of the Lord and sing with the whole church in heaven and earth, glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Amen.